The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that always keeping in mind the end of all things and the day of judgment, we may be stirred up to the holiness of life here and may live with you forever in the world to come. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, the 12th chapter. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of all your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
Their libations of blood I will not offer, nor take the names of their gods upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My God, you clothed with pleasant land. In these I have goodly heritage.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you are not among the enemies who pray for you, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And then he also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, but not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. When it comes time to take a serious look at the scriptures, I have many tools and helps available to me. I have commentaries that are written by scripture scholars that help me take a look at the particular passage in context of the whole book and find out about the author and when that book was written and the style of writing. I also have Bible dictionaries and lexicons that help me to find out the meaning of a particular word and how that word is used in this particular passage. And I have a group of friends that are connected by the internet. And during the week, we are always talking about what the scriptures mean, the scriptures for the coming Sunday, and maybe sharing a little bit about where we think we might be going with the sermon. These friends of mine are classmates from the seminary, and they're pastors now all over the country. But we keep in this communication. It's very good for me because whenever I share, you know, "I think I'm going to go this way with the sermon," I get a flood of emails back. "Oh, I wouldn't go there." So it's very helpful to have friends who are also working with the same scripture. But this Sunday, I wanted something more. I needed another help. I wanted a scripture CAT scan. I wanted to give the gospel a CAT scan. Isn't that the machine that the doctors use that takes an x-ray of layer after layer so that even something that's hidden deep inside an organ can be seen because it takes one layer and then one layer and one layer. That's how we need to look at these short passage, this short passage from Mark's Gospel today. We only got 8 verses in this lesson for today, and so I needed to look at it in different layers to understand what it was all about. Now, the first level would help us to see and understand what Jesus' disciples heard in his word that day in the temple in Jerusalem. They were in awe of that huge temple. Can't you just see them? "Jesus, stand over there by that temple so I can get your picture. Now, get another shot of us with all of us in front of this huge stones. Isn't this a magnificent building? This is the place where God dwells. It's taken a long time for this temple to be built. It will never be destroyed. God certainly will live here forever." You know, those first century Jews saw the temple as the center of their worship. This is where God lived. If there was no temple, there was no place for God to live. And when the Messiah came, he would rule the whole world from that temple in Jerusalem. And now, standing in front of that temple with Jesus, the man that the disciples were pretty sure was the Messiah, was a pretty awesome experience. When would he start that rule? When would he claim his messiahship? Because about the temple falling to pieces, what was that about? That was unthinkable. That would be the end of the dream for the Messiah. What were they supposed to think? What were they supposed to hope for, to plan for, without a temple? Now, take that CAT scan gospel and go one more layer. The 60s were tumultuous times. I'm not talking about the 1960s, although those were interesting times too. I'm talking about 60 AD, the decade that the Gospel of Mark was written, the time that was the events that were going on when Mark was writing these words. According to the historian, secular historian, Josephus, who wrote about those times, describes them as this. The times were filled with famine, social unrest, institutional deterioration, bitter internal conflicts, class warfare, banditry, insurrections, intrigues, betrayals, and bloodshed. Kind of sounds like the 1960s, doesn't it? Jerusalem was under siege from the years 66 to 70. And there were stories that were spread by popular messiahs, prophets speaking out against the city and against the temple. The government was in chaos, and there was near riots when the crowds would gather in Jerusalem for the festival days. There were wars, and there were rumors of war. And there was natural phenomena. Josephus tells of one experience when, in the middle of the night, the sun came out and it was as bright as day. All of these things were going on. That was the situation when Mark was writing the gospel. So for the first readers, Jesus' words were a prediction of what was actually coming true. Their city, their temple, indeed their very lives were crumbling before their eyes. We move with that CAT scan to the next level, and we hear the same story. Christians are persecuted. There is rebellion and revolt all over the known world. The city of Rome falls, and the Dark Ages threaten to erase sacred scripture from the minds of the peoples. As time goes on, the gospel is spread to other lands, and there is more persecution, more wars, more distress. Even to our own day in history, the history of humanity carries that same anguish, to use the word that we heard from Daniel this morning. Every time, every age can read these words of Jesus and say, that is precisely what's happening now. This is life for us these days. Just like every other generation, we have our own list of tragedies, disasters, war, and terror. That's what Jesus was talking about that day in front of the temple. The disciples who were listening to him took it to mean the end times, the end of the world. And people since then have been looking at that passage as Jesus talking about the end of the world. And they want to know when. The disciples and people since that time want to know the when, the where, and the how of the coming of God's kingdom. When is Jesus going to take the reins? When is Jesus coming back? Remember the story the children's story of Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. On one level, on every level of our CAT scanned scripture, Jesus is saying the sky is not falling. Turmoil and terrible times do not mean the end is here. This is part of life, and I guess we can expect it to be so. But sometimes the events in our world look like the end is near. Did you hear about the two pastors who went fishing? Took the car down and they drove to the end of the road and the bridge was washed out. So they posted a warning sign at the end of the bridge and then they went on and were fishing. And about every 25, 30 minutes, a car would come roaring down the road and right off the end of the bridge into the water. After this happened like four or five times, one pastor turned to the other and said, "Well, you suppose we should have written something other than the end is near?" We don't pay attention to the signs. After the wildfires last month, I heard many news reporters talking about how these fires in the canyons and in the mountains were a natural cycle, a part of the natural cycle of things in the world. We can expect that fires will happen. And we can expect earthquakes and tornadoes, hurricanes, and every other sort of disaster that Mother Nature can dish out. We can expect political and social unrest. We can expect war and rumors of war. We can expect poverty and hunger in the world, especially as our population continues to grow and the gap between the rich and the poor grows wider and wider. We can expect disease and epidemics. We can go one more layer with our CAT scan and find the truth in these words in our personal lives. As individuals, we live with disease and depression, anxiety, money problems and addictions, crummy relationships, difficult job situations, worries about our family members, and on and on. At this level, we feel more than just a little off balance. So what is at the core of our scripture lessons is not the answer to when will it all end, when will we find our balance. We don't find the answer to when or where or how Jesus will come again. We really don't see much good news in these eight short verses in Mark's gospel. For good news today, we have to look back to our first lessons. The world may be in turmoil, and our own personal lives just as bad, but the promise of rescue for those who have followed the true path is beautiful. Listen again to these words from Daniel. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead the many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. This is such stunning imagery. In this apocalyptic writing, we find that no matter how bad things are, God is still in charge, and God will triumph. No matter how bad things seem, God is in charge. Apocalyptic writing is not meant to be interpreted literally or searched for specific signs that point to the end time. The purpose of such writing is for us to hear that through seemingly hopeless times and troubles, God encourages, steadies, and sustains us. God is in control. That's the good news in the scripture today. God is keeping that covenant that God made with us. God is always faithful to that covenant and will always be with us no matter what, no matter how off balance we feel, no matter what turmoil and trouble is in our lives. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray that God's reign would be fully recognized and powerful on the earth. The old way will pass away, and everything will be made new. A new heaven and a new earth have been promised, and God is faithful to all of God's promise. Jesus is alive and at work in our lives and in our hearts. God's reign will come. God's reign of justice and peace will come. Maybe not in our lifetime, but will surely come. Because we are baptized into Jesus, everything we do in Jesus' name, no matter how insignificant, everything we do in Jesus' name helps to remove the barriers that prevent the kingdom of God from coming in its fullness. Jesus is coming again, and we prepare for that second coming by healing hearts that are broken, by setting the captives free, by seeking wisdom and righteousness that Daniel spoke about, and spreading the good news wherever we are. The assurance that we have in Jesus Christ is not an assurance of protection, of calm or tranquility. It's not even a foolproof way of discerning wisdom and righteousness. It is total dependence upon the faithfulness of God, belief in the promise. So this is how we await the coming of the kingdom. We heard in our reading from Hebrews that we have to learn to live together in love and kindness, encouraging one another and calling one another to love and to good deeds. This is the good news today. God is faithful. God is in control. This is the good news today. We can await the promise of that fulfillment, trusting that Jesus will come again. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory is His forever and ever. Amen.